have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Lady Michelle Austin. I know what you've been through, you've been through. Don't think that it's only you.
amazing show. Woo! I am so glad to be here. You are listening to Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle, and I am your host, Lady Michelle. I want to welcome all of you to our virtual safe zone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So, listen, we're going to get started. I mean, tonight is amazing. So we are going to get started here. I want to just let you know this platform is centered around education of domestic violence, toxic relationships, the different forms of trauma, self-love. We talk about finding your voice. And these are just a few things that we do here at Speak Your Peace. But just remember that it was designed with each of you in mind. We are here to enlighten you, to educate you, to inspire and empower you. But before we do that, y'all know I got to always make my disclaimer because I got to make sure because somebody might be listening and they wasn't listening last week. So I have to make my disclaimer, and that is simply all content of this podcast is intended for general information purposes only and is not intended or implied to be a substitute for your professional mental health or trauma advice or therapy sessions, okay? You must never disregard or delay seeking professional treatment based upon any content that's given out on this podcast, okay? So y'all make sure you feel like you need some help, you consult your physician, you call 911. If you believe you have any kind of medical emergencies or whatever, you get to the right people, okay? So we just want to make sure that we say that before we even move forward. Listen, I got to take a deep breath because my guest tonight, I cannot even believe I have her. This woman is completely amazing. She is outstanding. She is phenomenal. And I'm so happy to be connected with her. During the pandemic, I believe I met her. It might have been a little bit before the pandemic. Time is really moving so quickly. But her bio is just extensive. So I can't even read that whole thing tonight because we'll be here for about 20 minutes just talking about her bio. That's how much work she has done. She is an advocate for human trafficking, which she does work all throughout of the city of Philadelphia. She's been recognized by so many higher-ups and just awards and does so much work in the community. I mean, she gets down dirty with it, y'all. She rolls up her sleeves and really gets into it. But I didn't even want her to come and talk about human trafficking tonight. We'll talk about that another time. I wanted her to talk about something very different tonight. And it was something that made a difference in her life. It blessed her life, and it blessed my life. And so I wanted to talk about that because it has a lot to do with the trauma that we experience. I know we talk a lot about trauma and domestic violence and all of those different things. But what I want to do on this podcast is to make sure that we're talking about things that are going to be fulfilling to you, things that are going to make a difference in your life, things that are going to take you to the next level in your life and to give you the greatest satisfaction so that you become a whole person, you know, and that comes through getting healing. So what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about womb healing. And so I am excited to introduce to you Miss Sakina Love. Help me welcome her, y'all. Hey, you there? We got her. Oh, I did that introduction, and now we can't get her on. Uh-oh, what's going on? Sakina, darling. Maybe she might be on mute. Sakina, did you unmute yourself? I'm going to keep talking until she come on back, until she comes on. But again, like
Hello?
I said, Sakina.
Yes.
Can you
I
hear
don't
me?
Know what was hey. Going on because I wasn't here.
Hey, did you hear my introduction?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You have been such a blessing in my life, and so I wanted to, you know, just really dive right into you telling Thriver Nation a little bit about you. I didn't want to go too deep into your bio because, I mean, you've done so many wonderful things, but tell them a little bit about yourself.
So what part of life are you talking about? Are you talking about professional life or personal? That's two different worlds.
We can talk. You have we're going to do. Let's jump right into the womb healing part, and then I'm sure that's going to, a bunch of things are going to come out about you and that. So let's jump into what is womb healing, and how did you get into that?
Definitely. So if we're going to talk about womb healing, then that's more of the personal side for me, which has turned into the professional side. But womb healing for me has just been a life-changing experience that I went through during the pandemic. I was in the midst of dealing with infertility, and just a little backdrop, I got married in 2017, and after being married for only about 6 months, I found out that I was pregnant. And it was an ectopic pregnancy. So very quickly after finding out I was pregnant, I was rolled back into an emergency room because I was bleeding internally. And I was told that I would have to get my right fallopian tube removed because it had ruptured. And they did everything they could to save the left fallopian tube because obviously me and my husband wanted to try to have children. And from that day, moving forward, I struggled with infertility. And I've been to a plethora of doctors, and I've done 2 rounds of IVF. If anyone doesn't know what that is, it's in vitro fertilization where, you know, your egg is taken and they take your husband or your partner's sperm and they put it inside of there, and then they place it back inside of the uterus with the hope that it will stick and then you'll have a baby. Well, I did 2 rounds and I had no success. And honestly, before I went through my 2nd round, I was just really exhausted with the idea of trying to figure out what did I need to do to conceive, you know. So I started to do some more therapeutic modalities such as meditation and yoga. I started to do things that connected me more to nature. So I started to do gardening. I started to tend to things. In a sense, I felt me doing that was me tending to my womb. You know, I was taking time out to really do some deep, deep inner healing. So if you want to know what womb healing is literally the work of a woman, or a work of a woman with her partner, or a work of a woman with a coach, and they're working to address any inner issues that are connected to their childhood, that is connected to reproductive issues. And they're working to address those things to increase their chances of not just conceiving, but also just to have a better life, to have a better self-esteem, to have better confidence in themselves. So my journey started personally. And like I said, I worked by myself on some things, but then I also work with a fertility coach. I also work with a womb healer who trained me. And then I went back, I went through the program, and then I went back and got trained. And now I'm working with other women, as she did with me, to address many of their day-to-day issues.
Wow, that is amazing. Oh, and we can safely say and honestly say that everything worked out for you.
Yes. You may hear her.
Yes, everything worked out for you because you have given birth to a very healthy baby girl.
Yes.
So this was good for you. What, I guess, one of the things you kind of talked about how it works a little bit, but what – I guess that's what made you get into it, is because you were going through your own infertility issues.
Yeah.
But, you know, what made you want to help other women? Because you could have just stopped with yourself. You could have said, okay, this happened, it helped me, and I'm done. But what made you want to help other women?
Right. So if I could just be 100% honest, and I guess this is where we're going to get into the thick of it, I did not have a lot of support. And I'm not going to talk about any other race but my own right now. And let's just be honest. In the African-American community, sometimes issues like infertility, issues with the reproductive system, issues that have to do with our health are not necessarily something that we want to talk about. And I felt that what I was going through, I was going through it alone. There was many things that I found out while I was going through infertility about my family that I didn't even know about. And a lot of it came at a very inconvenient time. And when I say inconvenient, if I was venting to my mom or an aunt or my grandma about my pain of infertility, then it was, oh, well, you know, such and such had this happen to them. Oh, you know, such and such got a hysterectomy. Oh, you know, such and such had a stillborn. Oh, you know, such and such had a miscarriage. And I thought that was the craziest thing, that no one took the responsibility or the accountability to try to figure out if there was a way to solve the issues that were literally plaguing my family. And I felt that it was my responsibility, not just for my lineage, but for the many women that I have encountered through social media with me sharing my story. And beyond that, you know, I created another Instagram just for my fertility journey because I didn't feel safe sharing my story with anybody that wasn't going through what I was going through. So I found safety in other women that were dealing with infertility, and hearing their stories and what they were dealing with really helped me to find safety in my story and even in my journey. So my journey started, you know, from knowing the stories of other women and them really suffering in silence. And I said, no more. It has to be a way. There has to be a way that we can heal. I'm not saying that medicine doesn't work, that doctors can't do their job, but it is our innate nature for us to heal. It almost is contrary to why we're here. Why are we here if we're going to live a life of weakness, if we're going to live a life where we're not empowered? And I just got to a point where I said, there has to be more to life than this, you know, and I'm going to live and outlive the statistics that the doctors had given me. And, yeah, I just started doing the work. Even though it was tough work, I was up for the challenge.
Oh, that is amazing. You said a few things that now this is where it's going to open up for me. I am one of those people who we were introduced by someone, and it was concerning domestic violence and human trafficking,
yes.
Right? From another organization.
Yes.
However, it was one time on social media I saw that you had the program for the womb healing. You were having a service. And immediately when I saw it, it connected with me. And I was thinking to myself, well, how is this connecting to me? Because, and I'm a transparent person. Everybody who knows me knows. I tell it just like it is. I tell my story, and I don't care about what others think, because this is going to help someone. I have had a hysterectomy ever since I was 28 years old. And but the womb healing connected with me because I realized that even though I no longer had a uterus, there was still so much trauma in that area that it was like a junk drawer. It was just full of stuff. And I realized that I needed to get that cleaned out so that I could hold space for the women who I called to help as they go on their journey to get through with their trauma and things like that. So I was able to go through those 12 weeks with you. I'm telling you, anyone, I would recommend everybody go through this, but what helped me the most is I feel like we were able to go the next steps past my therapy sessions, my regular therapy. This was able to go to the next steps because we were able to go back into and journey back into the childhood where the trauma began to visit those. And you guided me through that. And so you need that guide to take you through those channels and those different things that you need to experience, that you need to revisit. You need to get that forgiveness. I had to go back. And I always tell people I forgave my parents from the grave. Well, literally, I forgave them from the grave because we had to go back and we had to revisit these things that happened in my childhood. And I'm telling you, I've never been more free in my life than when I went through this womb healing and cleaned out all of that junk out of the junk drawer and got rid of mess that was just sitting in there. Talk a little bit about that. Tell my wonderful Thriver Nation about that process.
So I remember, and I'll give a like an overview. I remember when I went through that last round of IVF, and I was just so broken. And I said, there has to be more to the story, you know, and I was, let's just be real, I was frustrated with religion. I was frustrated with people telling me, oh, lay your hands on your womb and pray, and oh, and God's timing and all that. That was all very triggering. And, you know, we have all these cliche words, and we feel like those are the things that we're supposed to say because it just sounds like the things to say, but they can be very hurtful for a person that's dealing with any form of trauma, you know, and they're looking to get rid of it. And I remember saying to myself, I'm willing to do even the hard things. And for an extensive amount of time, I just did some inner child work. So what I started to do with the help of my therapist, and I'm also in the mental health field, so I have a lot of, you know, background, but you do need a guide. You know, I started to connect with my inner child. And those areas and those times in my life that were challenging and I felt unsafe, or unloved, or unwanted, or abandoned, or rejected. And that's no shade to anyone, but we all have times in our lives where we feel disconnected, even from those who are our caregivers or those who are supposed to provide for us. There comes a time where you go through changes and challenges, whether it be when you're going through puberty, whether it be where you're going through some type of transition in life, you go through these changes. So you feel disconnected, you know, and I had to go back and reconnect the dots. And I began to connect with my inner child, and I started to do things that were very, very interesting. I started to read chapter books from when I was a teenage girl, and I started to listen to music from when I was a teenage girl. And because, honestly, when I went through my teenage years, that's where I believe I went through the most transition. You know, and you know, when you're a teenager, you think everybody's against you and your parents' rules are so cruel and things like that. So I had to really go back and connect with my inner child and let her know that she's safe and that she's loved. And I had no idea with me doing these things that I was healing parts of my childhood that had been unhealed for so long. And I had no idea that me doing this was literally helping me to manifest my now 5-month-old daughter. There were things about myself that I had to fix and heal in order for me to show up now as a mother, you know. And yes, I'm new to the game. You know, I have godchildren, but it's nothing like having your own children. This is the most selfless thing that you will ever do. And what I've had to do in these last 5 months is reparent myself. So that means those areas in my life that I was working on over a year ago, I'm now revisiting those things, but I'm doing it for the sake of myself, but for the sake of how I want to show up to her as a parent, as a mother. So I literally had to go back and do some inner child work. I had to learn through meditation how to be gentle with myself and be kind with myself. And as a result, I am the person that I am today, and that was hard. I had to write letters asking myself to forgive myself for being so hard on myself. I had to learn how to forgive others. You know, there's just so much that I had to unpack to get to this place that I am today.
I absolutely love it. It speaks volumes to what the benefits of womb healing is. And again, I want to really bring up the fact that even if you no longer have the uterus, you've already had children or whatever, but we have had that trauma in that area. Because for me, I didn't realize how much I needed it because I went through the whole, you know, bad menstrual cycles. And I, too, found out that, you know, my mom had problems, and then whomever was going on with her mother and so forth and so forth. And so that when you get that intergenerational trauma going on, and it's going from generation to generation, and, you know, it has to stop somewhere, but it can't stop until we take accountability for what's going on, until we acknowledge what is going on, and then we do something about it. And so even for me, because I don't have it anymore, but I'm able, again, like I said, I'm able to hold space for women who have dealt with sexual abuse. I'm able to hold space for them who, you know, their boundaries were violated. They may have gone through abortions and miscarriages and stillbirths.
Nice.
I've had those things happen to me, and you know, shame around your womb, right? You know, we have that shame. I remember when I had to get my hysterectomy, and I was 28, like I said, and you start to hear women, older women, tell you that you're not going to be a woman anymore. And they begin to tell you all these old wives' tales. And so you start to feel shame about what's going on, even though you already felt shame about what was happening before you had to go get the surgery. You know, I had so many issues, and I had no one to talk to about it. So womb healing is so good because you, like you said, you have that safe space, and you can talk to someone if you're having those challenges, the fibroids and all of those different things. And you know, maybe you have difficulties when you give birth. You know, you hear people, they're in labor for 36 hours and things like that, and then they have to get the C-section, and, you know, it's just a lot of traumatic things going on in your lives. And so womb healing is so good for people who are not only dealing with infertility, but even after you've taken care of all of that stuff, after you had the baby, after, you know, you may have had a stillbirth or something like that. My youngest daughter is my rainbow baby because the baby that came before her died at birth, you know. So we need these safe spaces to talk about it, and we need to go back and get healed, because one of the things that I say is, it's not hurt people who hurt people, but it's hurt and unhealed people who hurt people. So if you never go back and get that healing and become the whole person that you're designed to be, then you'll continue to hurt other people, right?
So you're no good.
I get so excited.
No one. No good to no one. And you're not showing up as a whole person, as you just said. You're just showing up, and you're giving people broken pieces of who you are, you know. And even if a baby didn't come out of this, just like you said, you know, there were other things that were traumatic that happened to me that needed to be addressed. Even if a baby didn't come out of this, I had to heal those broken parts of my life, you know, because I didn't want to keep showing up broken. I didn't want to keep showing up half-stepping, you know. And also, like you said, you know, now we can go to the professional side. You know, our duty, and you know this as advocates and professionals in this helping field, you want to make sure that you are whole so that when you're holding spaces for other women, you're not doing it as if you feel like it's almost like a duty, you know, but you're showing up whole because you believe that this is something that you've been called to do. And there are so many people that are working in this helping field that are helping others, and they're not healed themselves. You know, that's a red flag, you know, and I couldn't continue to show up to my clients and show up to the women that we serve through our nonprofit that works for human trafficking victims. I couldn't continue to show up to them with all of these things that were going on in my life that were not addressed. I always wanted to show up not with my issues at the forefront, but being available for them in that moment. And the only way that you can do that is when you are healed first. In order for you to be able to show up for others, you got to handle that part, you know, and that's the part that we don't necessarily talk about. You know, we just want to do, you know, but you're doing people a disservice if you're showing up and your wounds are not tended to.
Right. Now, I have a question because I was doing some studying, because, you know, this, I get really, really, really excited about this, and we need to bring more awareness to this topic, and that's why I really felt like I wanted to talk to you and have you on the show, because I don't think we talk enough about it. One of the things that I saw is, of course, we already know that space is an emotional junk drawer, and, you know, when we need the healing and the cleaning out. So we know that men and women, boys and girls, come from the womb. We all come from the womb. Do you think it is for everyone womb healing? Because even though the guy might not have a uterus, a womb, but he may still have that trauma. He may be still holding those emotional things in his junk drawer, if you will. So do you believe that it's something that's for everyone?
Absolutely. You know, and I thought about that the other day about the trauma that men hold, you know, and again, whether they are fathers or not, they are the seed carriers. You know, they carry the seed to whatever they go to that they go and they deposit something in and they expect to get some type of success out of it or looking to get something out of it. You know, they're depositing seeds wherever they go, you know, and if there is nothing that is of good, what are they giving out? What are they giving out, and what is basically coming of that? You know, so many men, you know, are walking around empty, and as a result, it's causing more chaos than anything. You know, so I believe womb healing is for anyone that is open to the idea of healing inside out.
I love that. I love that. That is great advice. That's great to give to my wonderful audience, the Thriver Nation. We always want to make sure that we're giving them great information so that they can thrive, they can move forward on their journey to freedom. And so this is another part that I was thinking about and I was doing some research on, and knowing that when we think about the womb healing, right, of course, it goes further than just having a baby. But when you think about womb, you think about birthing, right? So when we get it cleaned out and we get all that junk out of there, we can birth new ideas. We can birth, like, all these amazing things that we can do, you know, to help our communities, to help our families, our churches, our jobs, everything, our businesses. We can birth things because now we have our emotional blocks have been removed, right? Yeah. And we have all of this amazing space now that we can do. We've gotten rid of the, you know, the imprints that we held on to from past toxic relationships, from, you know, the things that happened to us as a child. And now we have this clean, clear space that can take us to, you know, wherever our minds want to go, right? How do you feel about that? Because that blew my mind right there. That was just amazing to me, and I feel like I'm living that right now.
I think that a clean space is a thriving space. Let's just like be metaphoric right now. I know for me personally, when a space that I'm trying to work in is not clean, I can't function. But when I have a space that is cleared out, it's no clutter, put some sunlight in there, we get the dust off the table, and we're able to just open it up, I can thrive in those type of environments. And I feel like when that space is open and you open yourself up to doing the work, even the tough things, what should be withheld from you? Nothing shall be withheld. Anything that you put your mind to, any possibilities are able to take place in that clean space. Like you said, that is womb healing. When you clear out the clutter and the junk and you open yourself up to endless new opportunities, you know, the sky is the limit. And I think that's a great, great way to look at it. You're literally cleaning out a space and making it available for something new. So absolutely.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I remember you saying to me, you were looking at some pictures of me. You know, I had my birthday party. I turned 55 this year. Double Nichols and Double Grace. And I said double grace because five is the number of grace, right? And so I said, God gave me double grace. And so I was so excited. And you said to me that you looked and you saw how I was enjoying the party. And I know that, you know, 2 years ago when the pandemic started, I wasn't feeling that type of freedom. I wasn't feeling that type of, you know, I still had some bondage there. And even though I was working with women and I was trying to get things together, but until I was able to really go through that 12-week program, I wasn't able to really, I hadn't let enough things go. So again, there was still that guilt. There was still that shame. There was still, you know, those different imprints that were there. And so I want to tell people that are listening today, you know, even if you don't get in touch with Sakina, which we hope you do, but if you don't and you want to go to someone else, this is an amazing piece of work that you need to do. And I would say to people to get it done, to go through the program, to go through finding yourself, you know, just relieving yourself of that trauma. It helps with your self-esteem. No one wants to say they have low self-esteem. If you say someone has low self-esteem, they will literally cuss you out. But if you listen and you talk to them for about 5 minutes, you will know that their self-esteem is negative zero, right? But it really helps. It helps when you begin to affirm yourself through this program, through going through wound healing alone. You will learn how to affirm yourself. You won't wait for others to affirm you, but you will find that how great it is to look in the mirror and just to tell yourself that you are enough and to feel it, not to feel that heaviness, you know? So I just really, again, I get excited when I think about this. I'm so happy that it came into my life. I'm so happy that I saw it on your page and that you were doing something. Because, again, people, you know, some people get free and they go on about their business. We know. Everybody doesn't come back and everybody doesn't give back. And so, you know, just thankful that you did that and that there's so many people that you're going to help, not only through your nonprofit, which we know is about human trafficking, but this is another area of it where you can help them to even, you know, clear out, of course, that trauma and clear out those things that send us on those journeys to do the substance, you know, abuse and the, you know, all of those different things and self-sabotage and getting caught up into things that we really don't want to be into, but we feel like this is our coping mechanism. This is the only thing that we can do to take away the pain. This is another way to help people to get relieved from that. So I just wanted to put that out there, those shameless plugs, right? To show how much it has helped me. So is there anything else that you would love to tell our audience on Thriver Nation?
Just take power and matters into your own hands. I know it sounds very risky, and I know it sounds like, are you telling me not to trust in, like, the diagnosis that the doctors gave? Are you telling me not to take my medicine? Absolutely not. And I love the disclaimer you gave in the beginning about still seek out to your mental health professional, still call 911 if you feel the need to. Things that you can control, those things that are within your control, you know, whether it be going to therapy and doing the hard work like inner child work, whether it be journaling, whether it be, you know, sitting in stillness and doing meditation, something that we did, you know, me and you, Michelle, and I know it was something new for you, but you were so open to it. We started every session with meditation. We opened up with learning to just sit still for a second and allow our nervous system to calm down. Because a lot of times we're just on go all day, you know, and we don't take time to just sit in stillness and allow our bodies and our minds to connect. You know, because a lot of times it's an inner thing. And if your mind and your body aren't connected, how is it able to heal? there was a time in my life where my mind was just overpowering everything, where I had to tell my mind your business. And I used to tell my body to wake up, because the mind was gone, but the body was just stuck, you know. So I had to get them aligned. And once I did that, I was able to start making those changes. If you're looking to heal your body as well, changing some of your eating habits, you know, being drinking more water, you know, taking supplements, and, you know, making sure that you're taking those daily vitamins. I kind of just opened myself up to anything that was natural, organic, that was going to help me to do it. I felt me, you know, taking supplements naturally was something that I was doing. It wasn't like it was something that the doctors had suggested. It was something additionally that I did that I felt could help my process. You know, so you got to believe it first. And once you believe it, there's nothing that can be withheld from you. And I truly believe that I could conceive naturally. And I did. And I didn't even say that part when we first opened up. I went through those rounds of IVF, and I don't believe that they were in for naught, because I'm able to reach women who are dealing with infertility who do have to go through fertility treatment. And I'm able to share my journey. But I'm also able to reach women who haven't went through fertility treatment, because I conceived my daughter naturally, which doctors said would never happen. I was told that I would never get pregnant without some type of medical intervention. And thank God for their diagnosis and their expertise, but I just believed that my body was capable of doing what it was designed to do as a woman, you know, with or without the both fallopian tubes. I still believe that it could happen, and I trusted in that, and I trusted in what I already knew. I already knew I was designed and I was created to be a mother for so many reasons, and as a result of that, I wasn't going to give up until I had what I knew was already mine. So never, ever, ever give up on yourself. Trust in yourself. Believe in your strength. And continue to just do whatever you have to do to get those things that you desire. If you desire wholeness, don't stop until you get wholeness, whatever that looks like. If you desire to heal from sexual abuse, whatever that looks like, you can do it. If you desire to heal from a domestic violence relationship or being human trafficked, you can do that. That is all possible. That is all capable if you're willing to do the work. So that would be my advice. Do the hard things. You know, I remember years ago, a spiritual leader of mine preached a message called Do It Afraid. And I've heard many messages, but that one just really spoke to me. You know, no matter how I felt and no matter what odds were stacked up against me, I was willing to do it even afraid. You know, I was willing to get out of the boat and walk. Even though I didn't really know what was ahead, I didn't know how long it was going to take for me to conceive my daughter naturally, but I knew it was going to happen, and I just walked knowing that if I kept moving in the right direction, that what was, I thought, running from me, we would eventually collide, and we would meet head on, and we did, you know, a lot sooner than I thought. So continue to do the work. Be willing to invest in your future, and be willing to invest in what it is that you want, and just wait for it to literally happen before your eyes.
I love it. Another great nugget that you gave us, some great advice. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. I was listening while you were talking, and I was just remembering how we had to go through those difficult memories. We had to go back down into back in time when I was a little girl. And I know that that's a part of womb healing. And so I want to speak to that and let people know, you just said it, do the hard work, do that, go back and revisit those difficult memories, those things that are stored. You think it's stored in your mind, but it's stored in your womb area. That's where we hold everything. That's where
and
all of it
is in our bodies. Yes.
Yes. Yes. I am currently reading a book, The Body Keeps the Score.
Well, you took the words out. You took the words out of my mouth because that was the book I was going to say. The body keeps score. It literally does. The body keeps score of every traumatic experience, and the more that we try to forget it, the more that it stores in our body.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
more that it
mm-hmm.
finds, it's like it finds a little crevice, a little crack, and it literally moves in. So whatever that trauma is, and you don't address it, it moves into your body, and it lives there until you're willing to address it. And, you know, Michelle, I know we're finishing up, but you know what is one of the most scariest things?
Uh-huh.
And I didn't mention this because that's a whole nother story for another day. I know so many women, and I'm not talking just women my age. I'm talking seasoned women. That's a church word, seasoned. I don't really know what other word to use. Women that are like, I mean, they're well in their 60s and hitting 70. They have issues with their mothers. They have issues with their relationships with their mom. And they are so broken. And it's like you're talking to a grown woman, but it's like a little girl. And I met a woman. I knew her, but I never got to know her until a couple months ago. And she talked about issues in her relationship with her mom. And you can literally see the hurt and the pain that has literally taken over her life. And her mom is in her 90s. She's in her 60s. And she's been carrying this around for 60-something years. You know, her mother's been carrying her trauma for 90-something years. She's well almost 100 years old. And this trauma has literally taken havoc and wreaked havoc in their lives, where it's causing them to be disconnected, even in their older age. It's causing them to be disconnected from their bodies. And like you said earlier, it becomes like a intergenerational thing. So the connection that she didn't have with her mom, she now struggles to have with her children, and her children are having a struggle with their children. So it's literally like generation after generation that this trauma is showing up in, and no one's doing anything about it.
No one is doing the work.
No one is doing the work. We're sitting around the table. We're not addressing the elephants in the room. And the trauma is literally, it's almost like, I don't know, you ever see the Mucinex commercial with a
Mucinex?
They're like little people that are just living inside of your body, and they're just taking over. I mean, they're going and getting friends. You know, and I used to do this exercise as a life coach where I used to tell my clients, you know, when you don't address your trauma, trauma goes and gets guilt, trauma goes and gets shame, trauma goes and get rejection and abandonment and low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And they're like, come on, y'all, let's have a party. And before you know it, a whole party is taking place in your life and you literally lost control. And that's what happens. That's trauma. It finds a way in, and it never leaves unless you make it leave.
Right. Wow. Wow. I just pictured that when you said it's almost like they're all sitting around the table. They're not addressing the elephants in the room, the pink elephants, too.
No.
They're not. But all the trauma is doing is just waiting for the next generation and the next generation. And, and they just go and continue.
And because nobody's going forward, they're all going back to the start, and they're just it's almost like the peanut gallery. No one's moving. Everybody's just standing around talking about, well, my mom did this, and my grandma, and my aunt. It's like, wait, so why are we all still here? Why hasn't anybody said, like, okay, we know what we're dealing with. Let's try to change the trajectory for the next generation. I don't know about everybody else, but that's what I'm doing for my daughter. Some of the things that I experienced, she will never know. She won't even know what that is. She will never not know what it feels like to not feel like she's loved. And I'm not saying that I was never told or never that I didn't feel that. But there is just certain things that she will never even know exist. because my job and my goal is for her to feel love, for her to be loved, and to give love. You know, that's getting rid of that trauma. You know, sometimes when we're dealing with trauma, we don't want to be huggy touchy lovey dovey. We're very cold, and we're very like stern, and you know, it sometimes it's hard to sometimes it's hard to get through to people that haven't dealt with their trauma. I choose not to pass that on. I choose to pass on love, you know, affection, grace. You know, that's a word that, you know, you talked about double grace. That's not something that we give out. Compassion,
right.
We don't give those things. We give off those hard things that were given to us unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
Unknowingly.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no nurturing. Mothers think
None.
Because they are, they think they've given birth, and they think that's fine. But we have to nurture these little people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot mm-hmm. of that is missing when you had those, that trauma, especially the intergenerational trauma, because if grandma didn't nurture her daughter, and then she doesn't nurture her daughter, who doesn't nurture her daughter, and look at all of those people, generation, generation,
mm-hmm.
generation of no nurturing, no hugging, no affirmations, no, you know, like you said, touchy-feely, and no, we need that to grow.
Yep.
We
yep.
need that. It's like the flowers, you know, we need that. That's a part of how we grow into, you know, amazing people and productive
yep.
citizens of society. You know, so,
yep.
This is great.
I mean, when I'm hugging my daughter, I'm hugging myself, you know, because I see what
it
does for her. You know, some people are like, oh, my gosh, she's so clingy. All you want to do is hold your baby. You hold her all day. Because, you know, our parents were taught, stop holding that baby. You spoil. I don't think you can spoil a baby. I don't believe in that. I believe if a baby is crying for their mom or their dad, that's their way of communicating that they want to be loved. They want to be coddled. They want to be swaddled,
mm.
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to give off that nurturing. You know, so a lot of
yeah.
times when I'm hugging her and I'm rocking her back and forth, it's soothing for me too. You know, I'm
yeah.
seeing what it's doing for her, and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I need to be rocked. Maybe I need
right.
a sway, you know.
It's
help calm me down.
Making you feel good. Yes, yes,
right.
I love it.
Right.
Oh, whew, how amazing is all of this? This is great. Of course, we could be here all night long because this is just an amazing topic and just something that needs to be in our communities and something that needs to be talked about more. And we just really need to bring this awareness to people. And certainly I would love to have you back on, you know, at a later date, and we can talk about some of the things that you're doing, of course, with human trafficking and things of that nature. So I just enjoyed you so much. I just appreciate you stopping by and blessing us today.
Thank you for
yes.
having me, and thank you just for being willing. And you went through that program, and you trusted me. You know, you didn't have to, and you came out on top. And it's definitely showing, like I said, and what I can say to you in private, I can say to you in public. You have really shown what happens when you do the work. You know, I told you, I seen pregnancy glow, but you had a different type of glow. It was almost like, wow, like she's really living and she's living in double grace. So I honor you for just being willing to do the work and now turning around trying to pay it forward to other women because there needs to be more of it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being an amazing teacher, an amazing guide, an amazing just woman all around. I appreciate you, my sister. I love you. You know I love you. I tell you all the time. And you know it's nothing that you can ask me to do that I am not going to do unless it's illegal. But I know you wouldn't ask me anything illegal. But I thank you so much. I just want you before, because we're wrapping it up. I mean, this hour always goes so quickly. Just give the Thriver Nation how they can get in touch with you, how they can find you, and, just let them know so they can get you.
So on Facebook, it's Sakina L. Love. That's my personal page. The organization is Redeemed for a Cause Outreach. It's a very long name, but we also have a hotline that people are able to call if they're in need of services, and the number is 215-821-8353. Again, it's 215-821-8353, and our website is www.redeemed, and that's redeemed with an E-D, for, F-O-R-A, cause, C-A-U-S-E .org. And any inquiries that come through the website go to my assistant and then come to me. And a lot of times I get back to people fairly quickly when it comes to stuff like this. So please, if you have any other questions or if you want to reach out to Michelle and then she can reach out to me, I'm more than welcome, I'm more than open and willing to help individuals on this journey. So thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you again. We're going to go ahead and give our final thoughts for the evening. Of course, you know, we always say be kind to one another, but we always like to go a step further and say be kind to yourself. And don't ever forget that you are no longer a victim. You are more than a survivor. You are a thriver. We just want to give a shout out, of course, to our special guest tonight, Ms. Sakina Love. I love that that's her last name because she is really all about love and the wonderful things that's happening to her. And we want to also thank you, the Thriver Nation, for always being here, always tuning in. I love you guys so much. Please also, we got to give a big shout out to our producer. She is amazing. She's always here producing our show for us. And she is also the visionary of this station, the Elation radio station. And we love her so much. She is the visionary Kimmy Kim. And we also have our Elation magazine. We have our Ashes to Beauty Clubhouse every Friday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Check us out on Clubhouse. And we have so much more. So you just got to follow us and check us out. Our last and final things before we get out of here is I want to remind all of our thrivers everywhere that when you love yourself, you are healed. And when you are healed, you are loved. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Sakina, for coming. We're going to make sure that we get you on the books to come back and talk about the human trafficking work that you're doing, which is super amazing. So we'll make sure we get you there. We're going to go ahead and let our theme song take us on out of here. And I love you all. I'll see you all next Sunday. I don't know what day I'm on. Next Sunday. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Pick your head up, get up, it's only right, take back your life, pick your head up.